Deuteronomy chapter 1. I want to thank Brother Colton for filling in this morning as well as Brother Steve gone, as Brother Steve is gone this morning. And I did a great job. I told him we would double his salary today. And so I'm thankful that he filled in. He did a wonderful job. He looked like a natural to me. And so we have our new fill-in song leader now. Deuteronomy chapter number 1 is where we're going to be today. And if you are physically able to stand this morning, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, one verse this morning will allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church this morning. Deuteronomy 1, verse number 32. Bible says, "Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." And I'd like to bring us a message this morning entitled, that one word, believe. Very simple, but very profound and very powerful. One word, believe. Father, I ask that you would help today. Father, I pray that you'd take these next few moments. Father, I pray that you would still our hearts, calm our hearts. Father, I pray that we would put aside the cares and the worries and the concerns and the thoughts of this life for these next few moments. And Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would challenge us regarding this one word, believe. Father, the vast multitude of individuals in this room today have believed you when it comes to the matter of salvation. And Father, for that we are extremely grateful. Father, we're not naive to think that there might not be someone, or maybe even a couple of folks, or maybe even several, that might be in this auditorium who have never believed you when it comes to the matter of salvation. And for those, I pray that they would believe today. And I pray that today would be the day that they're born again, their sins are washed beneath the blood of Christ. But Father, for us as believers today, I pray that you would challenge us that our belief doesn't stop at salvation. Father, we're to believe you every single day. We're to believe every part of your word. And Father, I pray that you would remind us and convince us of that truth today. And Father, we'll thank you for what you'll do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on introduction this morning other than to say just a couple of things. We know what that word believe means. It means to accept as true. It means to feel sure of the truth of something, whatever that something may be. But I do want to challenge us today. You know, many times we don't have a hard time believing certain people. And it amazes me that we believe the media sometimes. We believe politicians when they tell us they're going to do certain things sometimes. We believe doctors, and we should. Doesn't hurt to get a second opinion, does it? But how often do we find it hard to believe when it comes to the Word of God? How often do we find it hard to believe when God asks us to do something? When God gives us a command in His Word, or maybe when He comes with that still small voice in our own hearts. And by the way, I'm not talking about extra biblical revelation this morning. I'm just speaking about the fact that sometimes when we have read the Word of God and we have been in the Word of God, in that still small voice, God has spoken to us through His Word. And He has prompted us and pricked us about a specific area, maybe something we need to get right, or maybe something He wants us to do more, or maybe an area of service that He wants us to get involved in. And many times, at those times, it's hard for us to believe. Now, we've come here to verse 32, and we're in the middle of the context, and I understand. And we know this context, and we know this passage, and we're not speaking specifically about the context today. We mainly just want to speak on one verse, but the context is Moses is reminding the nation of Israel what happened at Kadesh Barnea. At Kadesh Barnea, Moses sent out 12 spies to spy the land of Canaan. We know that. 10 came back with a bad report. By the way, all 12 came back with a good report of the fruit and how great the fruit of the land was, but 10 of them came back with a bad report and said, nevertheless, the giants are there, the cities are walled, we're not able to take it. The other two said, let's go take it now. And so Moses is reminding them of what happened and what they said and what they did. And in verse number 32, he says, yet in this thing. Now, their thing, and in preaching classes, you're not supposed to use that word, thing. You're supposed to be more specific. But I'm using it today because the Bible uses it. He says, this thing. And for the nation of Israel, this thing was God's command to them to go take the promised land. But your thing this morning may be different. But the question is still the same. Will we believe God? And will we trust God? And will we trust His Word? And so I want us to break this verse down this morning, verse number 32. It's broken down into three, I think, very distinct sections, even though it's a small verse. And I want us to look at these three sections, these three truths this morning, as we look at this word, this matter of believe. And I just want to challenge us this morning. I want to encourage our hearts, because when I'm preaching, I'm encouraging myself, I'm challenging myself, because here's the truth this morning. I believe with all of my heart that God wants our church to do more. I believe that. But even in my own heart, do I believe everything that I think He wants us to do? I should, if I believe His Word. And so let's look at that this morning. I want us to see, number one, the first thing that we find in verse number 32 is very simply this. We are to trust this thing. We are to trust this thing. Now again this morning, the thing is maybe different for every single one of us this morning. It may be in your life as a family that God has shown you something in His Word and He has prompted your heart about maybe removing something from your family, not someone, something, maybe removing something from your family, maybe adding something. Maybe you don't have family altar with your family. And God has prompted your heart and pricked your heart. Hey, you need to have family altar with your family. You need to read the Word and pray together. Y'all need to have time together around God's Word. And maybe God has prompted your heart about that, but you're scared because you've never done it before. And it's going to be awkward because you've never sat down with your wife or you've never sat down with your children and read the Bible and prayed. And so in your heart, boy, you're scared to death. But you know that it's something you ought to do. You know the Bible is very clear about how much we ought to commune with the Word of God and how much we, especially husbands and fathers, how much we ought to lead our family when it comes to the Word of God. So this morning, are you going to believe Him? See, this morning we are to trust this thing. Whatever the thing is that God has pricked our hearts about from His Word, whatever the thing is that God wants us to do, whatever the step of faith is, we are to trust this thing. God's not asking you to trust my thing. Now, there are some things that are, what's the word? Applicable to all of us. The Bible tells us that in Matthew 28, in verses 19 and 20, the Bible mandates the Great Commission, doesn't it? We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, Mark 16. That's for all of us. And we need to trust Him with that. We need to believe that that's what God wants us to do, and that He's going to prosper it, and that He's going to give us the courage. And so look, if I'm going to believe, then I'm going to start carrying tracts. I'm going to start thinking about people when I meet them. I'm going to think about being sensitive to their needs and talk to them about Christ. You see, there are some things that apply to every single one of us. But there are some things that may only apply to you. And this morning, number one, we are to trust this thing. What was the this thing for the nation of Israel that he's speaking about in verse number 32? First of all, this thing was simply a command to conquer. God had given the nation of Israel a command to go in and conquer the land of Canaan, did he not? He commanded them to go do that, to go in and take the promised land. Secondly, it was a promise to prevail. What was the thing in verse 32 that Moses is talking about? It was the command to conquer. It was the promise to prevail. What did God tell them? He said, I am going to do what for you? I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to battle for you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. In other words, I'm going to do it for you. If you'll just believe me, and if you'll just obey, I'll do it for you. So, for the nation of Israel, this thing was a command to conquer, a promise to prevail, and thirdly, the sureness of salvation. And we're not talking about spiritual salvation this morning, about the salvation of our souls, although, let me say this, just as a side note, not a side note, but let me insert this right here. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ. He promises that He'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He paid the price at Calvary, as Dayton sang about this morning. He came, He loved us, and He paid the price at Calvary. He spread out His arms, and He died voluntarily. He died freely. Nobody killed Him. The Jews didn't kill Him. The Romans didn't kill Him. He died voluntarily. He shed His blood. He was buried. He rose again the third day. So we have the sureness of salvation. But that was the thing for the nation of Israel. A command to conquer, the promise to prevail, and the sureness of salvation. I'm going to give you the victory. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. And can I submit to us this morning, as our church family, as Maranatha Baptist Church, that's the same thing He's told us. When a person gets saved, in John chapter 10, in verse number 10, He says, for the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's a promise. He's promised us that. Not that we just have life, not that we're just saved from hell, although that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? No, not that we're just going to miss hell and we're going to get to go to heaven one day, but we get to live the abundant Christian life right now. And I know we say that a lot, and I'm not trying to be repetitious this morning, but we are to trust this thing. What is your thing this morning? For the nation of Israel, it was the command to conquer. And by the way, I believe that's the command to us this morning. We know that the land of Canaan is a picture of what? Somebody tell me. The abundant Christian life, the victorious Christian life, that is what Canaan is a picture of. It's not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the abundant Christian life, the victorious Christian life. And so the same thing, God has commanded us to go conquer our giants, go conquer our walled cities, and He's promised to prevail for us. Let me read you a verse. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Verse number 57 says, but thanks be to God which giveth us what? The victory. The victory. You say, well, Pastor, but that's talking about salvation. That's talking about the resurrection. That's talking about when Christ comes back and we're changed from corruptible to incorruptible. That's what that's talking about. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'll give you that. But the chapter doesn't end there. There's one more verse. Therefore, verse 57 says, God has given us the victory. Christ has given us the victory. Therefore, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if I'll work for Him and I'll labor for Him, He'll give me the victory. The promise to prevail. The command to conquer. The sureness of salvation. We are to trust this thing. What is your thing this morning? What is it that God has been prompting you and pricking your heart about in recent days? What is an area of service? What is an area of consecration? What is the area of holiness that God has been knocking on your door and saying, hey, you know you ought not be doing that. You know you need to get that right. Or maybe it's an area God's been knocking on your heart about and saying, hey, you know you need to add this to your life. You see, it's not all about subtraction. When we take something away, we ought to add, right? I tell young people all the time, when you take away the bad music, you better add the good music. Don't just take it away. There's still a void there. Because we like music, don't we? By the way, I believe God created us that way. Okay, so if I'm going to get rid of the bad stuff, if I'm going to get rid of the wicked stuff, well then add the good stuff. Look, if I'm going to get rid of anything in my life, I need to add the good stuff. What is your thing this morning? Might be someone in here this morning. God's been knocking on your heart's door about surrender. And I'm not saying this morning surrender to ministry, but just to surrender your life. To say, God, whatever you want me to do. I don't believe you're calling me to anything specific right now, but God, whatever you want me to do. And boy, you're scared of that. You're scared to death of that. Man, if I do that, what's he going to ask me to do? Doesn't matter. He's promised to help us prevail. Doesn't matter what the thing is this morning. Number one this morning, we see we are to trust, believe. We are to trust this thing. Whatever the thing is, the nation of Israel, the thing was, hey, go take the promised land. Hey, go take Canaan. Hey, go over Jordan and take Canaan land, the promised land. Number one, we are to trust this thing. Number two, we are not beckoned to blindly believe. You understand that God hasn't asked us to blindly follow Him? Say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? You mean that I just shouldn't have faith? No. We should have faith. But do we understand that our faith isn't blind? He has proven Himself over and over again. Had He not proven Himself to the nation of Israel over and over again? He hasn't beckoned us to blindly believe. Now, I understand sometimes we take a step, we feel like we're going blind, don't we? Not physically, but we're doing it blindly. I understand that. With my wife and I, when we felt, or when I felt like the Lord wanted me to take a step into ministry, in a sense, I was blind because I didn't know what He wanted me to do, where He wanted me to go. I didn't know that, but I did know this. He wanted me to take a step of faith. But even in that, even though I didn't know all the specifics and details, I still wasn't going blindly because He had proven Himself in the past. Look, right here in the passage, would you drop back down to verse 23? We are not beckoned to blindly believe. Notice, before we begin in verse 23, notice in verse 32 again, what's the very first word? Yet. You know what that word, what does the word yet mean? After all of this, that's good. Any other thoughts? It means still. It means in spite of. It means after all this. He says, yet. What is he saying? What is Moses saying there? Yet. After everything God did, yet in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. Yet, still, in spite of, after all of this. Look at verse 23. And we said it this morning. Look, we trust God for salvation, don't we? And we should. We trust the finished work of Christ, the shed blood of Christ. That's what washes away our sin. Okay. if He can save me from my sin, can't He do much more than that? Then why is it sometimes in my life, I believe God in heaven is saying, yet in this thing you won't believe me. Look at verse 23. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us, and it brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, He hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. You see that? They should have blushed to say that. God hated us, and because He hated us, He delivered us from bondage. He delivered us from slavery out of Egypt. And that's what they're saying. Moses said, you said that God hated you because He brought you out of Egypt. What was their life like in Egypt? Slavery. In Exodus 3, when God comes to Moses in the burning bush, He said, I have heard the cry of my people, and I have seen their affliction. And now they're saying, God, you hated us because you brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Notice verses 30 and 31. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you according to all that He did, all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, like a man carries his little boy, like a mom carries her child. He said, that's how God would have born you, would have carried you. That the Lord thy God bear thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that you went until you came into this place, yet. You see, right there in verses 30 and 31, again, Moses is reminding them, hey, what did God do for you in Egypt? Didn't He bring you out with a mighty hand? He said, He'll do the same thing for you. He would have done the same thing for you. We are not beckoned to blindly believe. Look, when we trust this thing, whatever the thing is, God isn't beckoning us to blindly believe. Why? Because He's proved His power in the past. He has proven His power. And He has provided the pleasant. Let me show you what I mean by that and where I get that. Would you take your Bibles? Hold your place there in Deuteronomy 1. Would you go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 106? Psalm 106. He has proven His power. He has provided the pleasant. Here's what He has done. He has laid before us the abundant Christian life. For the nation of Israel, it was called the pleasant land. He laid it before Him. He said, this is what I want to give you. But you have to believe me. You have to trust me. Because you're going to have to take that step of faith to go into the land of Canaan, because there are giants there. And there are walled cities. I know that. But if you'll trust me and if you'll go, I promise, and I've proven my power in the past. I brought you out of Egypt. Didn't He bring all of us out of the bondage of sin when we got saved? That's what He did for us. And He said, I lay before you the pleasant land, the abundant Christian life. I lay that before you. Psalm 106 is rehashing what happened there in the wilderness and what happened at Kadesh Barnea. But look at verse number 24. The Bible says, yea, they despised the pleasant land, They believed not his word. He has proven his power. He has provided, he has laid before us the pleasant. And the Bible says the nation of Israel would not believe. What does it say at the last part of verse 24? What does it say? They believed not what? His word. It always comes back to the word. It always comes back to the word. They believed not his word. It always comes back to the word. Why do parents today, instead of listening to what the Bible says and training their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, disciplining their children the way the Bible says, why do they use so many other failed methods? Because they believe man over God's word. They believe man over God's word. And we could insert any illustration in there. I'm not even going to start going down the list. You could insert any illustration, any area of our Christian lives in there. Why do we not do what the Word says, but we'll listen to what some man says? Because ultimately, whether we'll say it or not, in our actions we're saying, I don't really believe His Word. Why is it so hard for people to tithe sometimes? Because they don't believe His Word. Because they look at their budget and they look at how much money they have and how much is coming in and how much is going out. And in their hearts, they fear because they say, I cannot afford to tithe. And they believe their circumstances and they believe their budget over God's Word. Doesn't He tell us in Malachi to prove Him? He said, bring your tithes into the storehouse and prove me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. He says, believe me. And so what is your thing this morning? See, I don't know. I know a couple of things in my life right now. And can I tell you this morning, one of those things is going to be a big step for me. It's going to be a big step. Am I going to believe God or not? We are to trust this thing. We're not beckoned to blindly believe. Why? Because He has proven His power and He has provided the pleasant. He has laid before us what He wants to give us. He's laid before us what He wants us to conquer. He's laid before us the land that He wants us to take. He hasn't asked us to follow Him blindly. Number three. Number one, we're to trust this thing. Look back at Deuteronomy 1 in verse 32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe. Yet in this thing we are to trust this thing. Ye did not believe. We are not beckoned to blindly believe. He's given us proof after proof after proof after proof. And then notice the last section of that verse. The Lord. What's the next word? Your. It's personal, isn't it? Personal. Your God. The Lord, your God. Number three this morning, we are guided by the guarantee from our God. And by the way, that goes with the first two. We're meshing them together. We are guided by the guarantee from our God. Again, He hasn't asked us to blindly follow Him, to blindly believe. He's laid out before us. And I understand there are steps that, boy, we just don't know what's next. I get that. But that's why the Bible says that the Word of God is what? It's a lamp unto our feet. and a light unto our path. It gives us light for the next step and the next step and the next step. It doesn't shine way down the road. It doesn't shine 5 years down the road or even a year down the road. It shines for the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. And we are to trust Him. We are to believe. Number three, we are guided by the guarantee from our God. And I know we've already said it this morning, but what was the guarantee? It was the promised land. It was the land of Canaan. I want you to look at two verses. Actually, three, but let's look at two and then we'll go to our last one this morning. Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 20. We are guided by the guarantee from our God. What's the guarantee? Two things: the glory of all lands and the goodness of the Lord. The glory of all lands and the goodness of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter number 20. This was the guarantee for the nation of Israel. It was the glory of all lands. That was the land of Canaan. That's what it's called. That's what we're going to see right here in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 50. Yet, there's that word again, also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. We are guided by the guarantee from our God. What was the guarantee for the nation of Israel? The glory of all lands. And I say it again, I know I'm being repetition, but what is the guarantee to us? The abundant Christian life, which Canaan is a picture of. The glory of all lands. There is nothing more glorious than living in the center of God's will. Nothing more glorious. You say, Pastor, are you living there right now? I don't know. I hope I am, but I don't know for sure. But that is where I want to live. It's in the center of God's will. It's as close to Him as I can possibly get. What did He guarantee to the nation of Israel? The glory of all lands. But secondly, and I want you to go back, Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Not only the glory of all lands, but number two, the goodness of the Lord. We are guided by the guarantee from our God. What was the guarantee to the nation of Israel? What is the guarantee to us? The glory of all lands and the goodness of the Lord. Notice Psalm 27, and I love this verse. David, verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What circumstance should I fear? What call or what thing that God wants me to do should I fear? Whom shall I fear?" he says. "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Notice this, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And then would you drop down to verse 13? This is a verse I wanted us to see. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't miss this morning. We don't see to believe. What does that verse say? We believe to see. You see, the nation of Israel, when they finally went into the promised land, when Joshua led them across the Jordan River, the priest had to take a step of belief first. And then what did they see? The waters parted. You say, but Pastor, you said we're not to blindly believe. Right. But the nation of Israel had seen Him do miracle after miracle after miracle in the past. And so this was just another step of faith. And when they believed and they took the step of faith, they saw the waters parted. And they saw the promised land. And they went in to the promised land. What is God's guarantee? It is the glory of all lands. It is the goodness of the Lord. And we don't see and then believe. We believe and then we see. So I ask you again, what is your thing? What is it that God wants you to believe Him for so that He can show it to you? What is it that God wants you to believe so that you can see it manifested in your life? Maybe it is your finances. You're never going to see what God can do until you believe Him. You're never going to see it. Well, God, if you'll increase my income 20%, then I'll give. No, that's not how He works. If you'll believe Him, then He'll show it to you. The psalmist David said, I had fainted. My goodness, I would have quit. I would have been so... I would have been curled up like a baby in a ball. I would have been so afraid. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Look what he says in verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. What is courage? What is courage? Huh? Belief in what? Huh? Okay, in the face of fear? It's simply belief in God's promises. It's faith in God's promises. It's trust in God's promise. That's what courage is. Hey, what made Joshua and Caleb different than the other 10? They believed. Was it because they were giants of physical specimens? They may have been, I don't know, but that wasn't it. I believe that all 12 of those individuals that went to spy out the land were probably men of stature. They were heads of the tribes. So what made Joshua and Caleb different? It was their faith. It was their belief. It was their trust. Joshua and Caleb believed what God had promised. And the other 10 didn't. One more passage and we're done this morning. Would you go to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 3. The writer of Hebrews, I believe it's probably the Apostle Paul, but we don't know for sure. But the writer of Hebrews, here in Hebrews chapter number 3, is using the example of the nation of Israel back at Kadesh Barnea. He's using them as an example to say, hey, Hebrews, Jews, you need to believe. You need to believe for salvation. You need to believe in this Jesus Christ. You need to believe that He is the Messiah. You don't need to be like those Jews back at Kadesh who wouldn't go into the promised land. You need to believe. Don't stand there at the threshold of salvation and not believe. Believe. And I say this morning, if you're here this morning without Christ, don't stand on the threshold of salvation. Look across into the promised land, into the abundant Christian life, and not believe. Believe. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear this voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, when the Jews provoked God there in the wilderness, is what he's saying. In the day of the temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that what? Believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. I leave us this morning with this question. And I leave this to believers primarily this morning. It's primarily who I'm speaking to this morning. Do we want to live our lives wandering in the wilderness? Or do we want to live our lives conquering Canaan? Do we want to live our lives as believers wandering in the wilderness? Because see, a believer can still stay in the wilderness. They're saved. Their sins are washed away. But they've never crossed over to the land of Canaan because they're scared. Because there are giants there. There are walled cities. Do we want to live our lives wandering in the wilderness? That's unbelief. Or do we want to live our lives conquering Canaan? That's belief. And here's why I ask that question. What more is it this morning that God wants you to do for Him? And I can't answer that question for you. I mean, I might can help you. I might could say, we've got this, this, and this, and this you could do. But here's the truth about that. That may not be your thing. That may not be the thing God is working in your heart about today. So whatever the thing is, just believe. Just believe. You say, but Pastor, boy, it looks big. The giants are big. The walls are huge and they are fortified and they are thick. Okay. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so believe. Father, thank you for the time that you've given us today. And Father, I simply ask that you'd help us to believe. And Father, this morning, we've seen very clearly that Father, if we believe, then we'll see. If we'll believe, we'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so, Father, this morning, help us to believe. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. If you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning to your feet. Ms. Joe's going to play in just a moment. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, then I say this. Believe. Believe in what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood. He loved us. He died for us. He went in our place. He was our substitute. He was buried. He rose again 3 days later, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. So believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believers, I say the same to us this morning. What is your thing? Hey, teenager, maybe the Lord's been working in your heart about full-time Christian service. Then believe. Teenager, maybe the Lord's been working in your heart about this simple thing. Just being obedient to mom and dad. Then just believe. Because there's a promise that comes with that command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it continues on in Ephesians chapter 6, and it gives a promise that thy days may be long upon the earth. Believe. Whatever your thing is this morning, just believe. Miss Jo's playing, friend. If you need to come, I beg you to come. Maybe you'd come and make this platform an altar. Maybe you'd come and make these front pews an altar this morning. Maybe you just make your own pew an altar this morning. Maybe you just come right out in the aisle and make that an altar this morning. And you just bow and pray, God, help me to believe. God, I know what it is that you've been pricking my heart about. Either maybe a sin you need to get rid of, maybe something good that you need to add to your life, Maybe a ministry, maybe a calling, maybe something that God's just He's been putting a fire in your heart about. Then this morning, just say, Lord, just help me to believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. Yet, after all this, in spite of still, in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. Believe. Amen. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning. Look forward to seeing you back tonight at 6, 5:40 for the choir. Guests, we're so grateful that you came to be with us today. And church family, appreciate you so much. Love you so much. If there's anything that anybody needs, anything that we can do for any of you, please let us know. And boy, we'll sure be glad to help. But we'll see everyone back tonight at 6 o'clock. And let's pray. Also, if you can help with the meal Friday for the football team, you'll see me this morning or tonight, it'll be fine as well. Brother Tim Turner, would you dismiss us, please, sir?